Thursday was an excruciating day for many Americans, as the political religious right claimed exclusive ownership of the traditionally ecumenical National Day of Prayer. The U.S. House of Representatives voted to replace the Affordable Care Act with a newly drafted, unscored, and unexamined version of Trump Care. Thursday was also the day this president gathered evangelical extremists at the White House to continue rewarding them for his electoral win. A terrible, terrible order tearing down the Johnson Amendment and turning the nation's tax-exempt religious institutions into pipelines for political campaign dark money. An expert observer of the political religious right is People for the American Way senior fellow Peter Montgomery. And I am so glad, Peter, that you are with us again today on State of Belief Radio.
Well, thank you so much, Welton, and thanks for that really great introduction. I appreciate it.
What do we know about this executive order?
Well, we know that it is meant to weaken or essentially stop enforcement of legal restrictions that keep churches from engaging in direct electoral politicking, fulfilling his campaign promises to the religious right when he promised to completely destroy the Johnson Amendment. Mm-hmm. And of course, he can't completely destroy it because it's a law. Congress has to do that. But he can instruct the IRS basically not to enforce it, and that's what he's done.
Polls tell us that a majority of religious leaders, even evangelical religious leaders, don't want their churches to become political slush funds. And churchgoers sure don't want it. Who wants it?
Well, the people that want it are the religious right leaders who are more about building political power than about saving souls. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Trump met with religious right leaders last June in an effort to get them to rally around his candidacy, he really offered them a deal, and the Johnson Amendment was a big part of it. He said, if you help me get into the White House, I will help make you more politically powerful by doing away with the Johnson Amendment. So they took the deal. One of his other promises was giving them the Supreme Court of their dreams, mm-hmm. and they're delighted with his appointment of Neil Gorsuch. Mm-hmm. And so they're delighted that he's now taken this next step to holding up his end of the deal that they struck with him.
So can he get by without their criticism because he didn't really go after the GLBTQI community and not do some of the other things that they really wanted him to do?
You know, we've seen just a little bit of grousing about that. For the most part, I think religious right leaders are praising him for taking what they call, you know, an important first step to protecting religious liberty. They're hoping to encourage him, praise him for this, and get more when they can.
Mm-hmm. In your work observing the political religious right, whom have you seen being most enthusiastic about tearing down the wall between church and state?
Wow, well, that's hard to pick because that's one of the big goals of a lot of them. You've got, you know, the big political organizations like Family Research Council and Tony Perkins at the head of that. And you also have people whose names are sort of less household terms, like David Lane, but who's a very influential political operative who spent the last 20 years organizing basically meet and greets between conservative pastors and Republican politicians and encouraging pastors to turn their churches into, you know, get out the vote machines for conservative candidates. And David Lane has a very clear Christian nation view. He thinks that the country was founded by and for Christians, and he wants Christianity to be the official religion with the Bible as a primary textbook in the public schools.
Are there steps that Congress or the courts can take to at least reduce the impact of all of this pressure from these evangelicals and the president?
Yeah, I'm guessing that groups that support separation of church and state are going to be looking carefully at the language in the order to see if there is a legal challenge to it, if the order, you know, would treat churches differently than other nonprofits. That might be an avenue of challenge, but we'll see how that unfolds in the future. And, of course, with Donald Trump having the power to nominate judges to fill seats that the Republican Senate left open for him, he has a good chance to put a stamp on the federal judiciary, and that's not going to be a good thing for supporters of church-state separation.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way all of this came to pass was nothing short of ridiculous for a policy that affects our nation so profoundly. Is this just the way it's going to be, do you think, Peter? We won't even get to know what the administration's going to take a wrecking ball to in advance.
Yeah, I think that one of the clear strategies of this administration is to have so many wrecking balls swinging at once that people don't know which one to try to stand in the way of. And that's, you know, Steve Bannon, his top strategist, has openly described himself as having a Leninist strategy of basically out to tear everything down. So I think that is definitely part of what the White House under Trump is going to be like. But I also think that a lot of what he's going to want to do, he has signaled that he's going to do. He made a very specific set of promises to the religious right, and he is now making good on them. So we know some of what's coming down the line, but, you know, it's going to be hard to know for sure. You know, we have the scramble on Thursday to scramble up votes for the next version of the Republican repeal of the Affordable Health Care Act, and nobody really knows what's in it, and it's last-minute jockeying to get the few votes. So it's also a mess, but it's a mess on behalf of a bill that's going to hurt a lot of Americans.
Does the religious right care anything about what happens with health care?
Yes. Tony Perkins was out there saying that if the Republicans passed that bill, it would be part of what would make this one of the best days ever for social conservatives, because they see the fact that some of the insurance plans that are in the Affordable Care Act in the exchanges do cover reproductive health services. They see that as a form of government subsidy or government sponsorship of abortion. So the religious right has pretty much been strongly opposed to the Affordable Care Act all along, and so they're cheering on the Republican effort to do away with it.
In the past month or two, are there any appointments this administration has made that have been particularly transparent in reflecting a political conservative Christian orientation rather than any kind of actual qualifications for the position?
How much time have you got? You know, we can start at the cabinet level with Betsy DeVos at the Department of Education, someone who basically has made a career out of seeking to undermine public education. Being put in charge of the Federal Education Department is pretty much astonishing. We have Ben Carson, who's got no qualifications whatsoever, no expertise on housing, who's now in charge of that. We have people who've been appointed at sub-cabinet levels who are being put in charge of the civil rights divisions of various agencies, people whose records are clear that they're opposed to the missions of the offices that they're being given. Charmaine Yost was recently named to a position at Health and Human Services, and she is one of the real architects of the anti-choice movement's strategy in recent years to continuously chip away at women's access to health care by passing trap laws and forcing clinics to close. And she's now able to pursue that kind of agenda from a post at HHS. There's going to be more of those as he continues to fill positions, which they're doing pretty slowly. But, you know, the Heritage Foundation is helping feed right-wing activists into all those positions. So we'll be dealing with quite a bit.
How do you keep some degree of hope for our nation when day after day you come up with all this bad news?
Well, it can be pretty dispiriting, and I think that we all know that we have a lot of dispiriting days ahead of us with the Trump administration and the Republicans in control of Congress. But I am heartened by the amount of energetic resistance that is welling up from people all over the country, including in bright red states. I'm heartened by the fact that, you know, first of all, Trump did not win a majority of votes, and there's polling that a lot of these issues the majority of the public is not, in fact, with him, and is not, in fact, with the right-wing agenda that's being pushed. So he has power because of all kinds of crazy things that happened in 2016. But I think in the long run, the better angels of the American people will assert themselves, and we'll get through this tough time, and then we'll start rebuilding.
Peter Montgomery is senior fellow at People for the American Way. His writing on the political religious right in this country appears on peoplefor.org, rightwingwatch.org, the Huffington Post, and elsewhere. Peter, dark times indeed, but I'm glad to hear what you had to say about the hope we need to put those two together. So thanks so much for being with us once again on State of Belief Radio.
Thanks for having me, Welton.